Chapter 67. The next morning, Admiral Sandecker was passed through the compound gate by Secret Service guards. He drove along a winding lane to the President's hideaway cottage on the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. He stopped his commercial rental car in the drive and removed his briefcase from the trunk. There was a crisp chill in the air, and he found it invigorating after the steamy temperatures along the Rio Grande. The President, dressed in a warm sheepskin jacket, came down the steps from the porch and greeted him. "Admiral, thank you for coming. I'd rather be here than in Washington. How was your trip?" "Slept, most of it. Sorry to bring you up here in a mad rush. I'm fully aware of the urgency." The President put a hand on Sandecker's back and steered him up the steps toward the cottage door. "Come in and have some breakfast. Dale Nichols, Julia Schiller, and Senator Pitt are already attacking the eggs and smoked ham." "Assembled the brain trust, I see," Sandecker said with a cagey smile. "We spent half the night discussing the political impact of your discovery. Little I can tell you in person that wasn't in the report I sent by courier. Except you neglected to include a diagram of your proposed excavation." "I would have gotten around to it," Sandecker said, standing his ground. The President was not put off by Sandecker's feistiness. "You can show everyone over breakfast." They broke off the conversation for a few moments as the President led him through the log-constructed house. They walked through a cozy living room decorated more for modern living than a hunting lodge. A small fire crackled away in a large rock fireplace. They entered the dining room where Schiller and Nichols, dressed as fishermen, rose as one to shake hands. Senator Pitt merely waved. He wore a sweatsuit. The Senator and the Admiral were close friends because of their closeness to Dirk. Sandecker caught a hint of warning from the elder Pitt's somber expression. There was one other man the President hadn't mentioned, Harold Wismer, an old crony and advisor of the President who enjoyed enormous influence and worked outside the White House bureaucracy. Sandecker wondered why he was present. The President pulled out a chair. "Sit down, Admiral. How do you like your eggs?" Sandecker shook his head. "A small bowl of fruit and a glass of skim milk will do me fine." A white-coated steward took Sandecker's order and disappeared into the kitchen. "So that's how you keep that wiry shape," said Schiller. "That and enough exercise to keep me in a perpetual state of sweat. All of us wish to congratulate you and your people on a magnificent find," Wismer began without hesitation. He stared through rimless glasses with pink lenses. A snarled beard almost hid thin lips. He was bald as a basketball, brown eyes wide to give a slight popped look. "When do you expect to move dirt?" "Tomorrow," Sandecker answered, suspecting the rug was about to be pulled out from under him. He pulled a blow-up of a geological survey map showing the topography above Roma from his briefcase. Then he followed it with a cutaway drawing of the hill indicating the planned excavation shafts. He laid them out on a free section of the table. "We intend to dig two exploratory tunnels into the main hill 80 meters below the summit."
"The one labeled Gongora Hill?"
"Yes, the tunnels will enter on opposing sides of the slope facing the river and then angle toward each other, but on different levels. One or both should strike the grotto Junius Venator inscribed on Sam Trinity's stone, or, with luck, one of the original entry shafts."
"You're absolutely sure a treasure trove of artifacts from the Alexandria Library is at this place?" Wismer said, tightening the noose.
"You have no doubts."
"None," asserted Sandecker in a salty tone.
"The map from the Roman ship in Greenland led to the artifacts found in Roma by Trinity. The pieces slot together nicely."
"But could the..."
"No, the Roman objects have been authenticated." Sandecker cut Wismer off abruptly. "This is no hoax, no attempt at fraud, no wild stunt or game. We know it's there. The only question is how extensive is the hoard."
"We don't mean to suggest the library's treasures do not exist," said Schiller quickly, a little too quickly.
"But you must understand, Admiral, the international repercussions of such an enormous discovery might be difficult to predict, much less control."
Sandecker stared at Schiller, unblinking.
"I fail to see how bringing the knowledge of the ancient world to light will cause Armageddon. Also, aren't you a little late? The world already knows about the treasure. Hala Camille announced our search in her address to the United Nations."
"There are considerations," said the President seriously, "you may not be aware of. President Hassan may claim the entire trove of relics belongs to Egypt. Greece will insist on the return of Alexander's gold casket. Who can say what claims Italy will put forth? Maybe I took the wrong tack, gentlemen, said Sandecker. It was my understanding we promised to share in the discovery with President Hassan as a means of propping up his government. True, admitted Schiller, but that was before you nailed down the location beside the Rio Grande. Now you've brought Mexico into the picture. The fanatic Topiltzin can make a case on the fact that the burial site originally belonged to Mexico. Well, that's to be expected, said Sandecker. Except that possession is 9/10 of the law. Legally, the artifacts belong to the man who owns the property they're buried on. Mr. Trinity will be offered a substantial sum of money for his land and the rights to the relics, said Nichols. I might also add his payment will be tax-free. Sandecker regarded Nichols skeptically. The hoard might be worth hundreds of millions. Is the government prepared to go that high? Of course not. And if Trinity won't take your offer? There are other methods of making a deal, Wismer said with cold determination. Since when is the government in the art business? The art, sculpture, and remains of Alexander the Great are only of historic interest, said Wismer. The knowledge in the scrolls, that's the area of vital interest. Well, that depends on the eye of the beholder, Sandecker said philosophically. The information contained in the scientific records, particularly the geological data, could have enormous influence on our future dealings with the Middle East, Wismer continued doggedly. And there is the religious angle to consider. What's to consider? The Greek translation of the original Hebrew text of the Old Testament was made at the library. This translation is the basis for all books of the Bible. But not the New Testament, Wismer corrected Sandecker. There may be historic facts that dispute the founding of Christianity locked away under that hill in Texas, facts that would be better left hidden. Sandecker gave Wismer a cold stare, then turned his eyes to the president. I smell a conspiracy, Mr. President. I'd be grateful for the reason behind my presence here. Nothing sinister, Admiral, I assure you. But we all agree this has become a vast and intricate operation that must be conducted within stringent guidelines. Sandecker was not slow. The trap had sprung. He'd known almost from the beginning what was going down. So after Numa, he paused and stared at Senator Pitt, and especially your son, Senator, have done all the dirty work, we're to be pushed aside. You must admit, Admiral, said Wismer in an official tone, this is hardly a job for a governmental agency whose bureaucratic responsibility lies underwater. Sandecker shrugged off Wismer's words. We've taken the project this far. I see no reason why we can't see it through to the end. I'm sorry, Admiral, said the President firmly, but I'm taking the project out of your hands and turning it over to the Pentagon. Sandecker was stunned. The military? He blurted. Whose harebrained idea was that? An embarrassed look came into the President's eyes. Then they flicked to Wismer for an instant. It makes no difference who conceived the new plan. The decision is mine. I don't think you understand, Jim, said the senator quietly. What you stumbled upon goes far beyond mere archaeology. The knowledge under that hill could very well reshape our Middle East foreign policy for decades to come. Reason enough why we have to approach this thing as if it was a highly secret intelligence operation, said Wismer. We must keep the discovery classified until all documents are thoroughly examined and their data analyzed. That could take 20 or even 100 years, depending on the number and condition of the scrolls after underground storage for 1,600 years, Sandecker protested. If that's what it takes, the president shrugged. The steward brought the admiral's fruit bowl and glass of milk, but Sandecker had lost his appetite. In other words, you need time to add up the value of the windfall, Sandecker said acidly. Then negotiate political bargains for the ancient charts, showing the locations of lost mineral and oil deposits around the Mediterranean. If Alexander hasn't turned to dust, his bones will be traded to the Greek government toward renewed leases for our naval bases. All this before the American people find out you've given away the store. We cannot afford to go public, Schiller explained patiently. Not until we're prepared to move. You fail to realize the tremendous foreign policy advantages you've laid in the government's lap. We can't simply throw them away in the name of public curiosity about historic objects. I'm not naive, gentlemen, said Sandecker, but I do confess to being a sentimental old patriot who believes the people deserve better from their government than they receive. The treasures from the Library of Alexandria do not belong to a few politicians to barter away. They belong to all America by right of possession. Sandecker didn't wait for them to answer. He took a quick swallow of milk, then retrieved a newspaper out of his briefcase and casually tossed it on the center of the table. Because everyone is so wrapped up with the big picture, your aides missed a small item from Reuters wire service that was carried in most of the newspapers around the world. Here's a copy of a St. Louis paper I picked up at the car rental agency. I circled the piece on page 3. Wismer picked up the folded paper, opened it, and turned to the page indicated by Sandecker. He read the heading aloud and then began the text. Romans, land in Texas. According to top-level administration sources in Washington, the search for a vast underground depository of ancient relics from the famed Library of Alexandria, Egypt, has ended a few hundred meters north of the Rio Grande River in Roma, Texas. Artifacts found over the years by a Mr. Samuel Trinity have been acknowledged as authentic by archaeologists. The search began with the discovery of a Roman merchant ship dated from the 4th century A.D. in the ice of Greenland. Wismer stopped, his face reddening with anger. A leak! A goddamned leak! But how? Who? Wondered Nichols in shock. Top-level administration sources, Sandecker repeated. That can only mean the White House. He looked at the president, then at Nichols. Probably a disgruntled aide one of your supervisors either passed over for promotion or sacked. Schiller looked glumly at the president. 1,000 people will be swarming over the place. I suggest you order out a military force to secure the area. Julius is right, Mr. President, said Nichols. Treasure hunters will dig those hills to pieces if they're not stopped. The president nodded. All right, Dale, open a line to General Metcalf of the Joint Chiefs. Nichols quickly left the table and entered the study, which was manned by Secret Service and White House communications technicians. I strongly advise we clamp a lid on the entire operation, said Wismer tensely. We should also spread a story that the discovery is a hoax. Not a good idea, Mr. President, counseled Schiller wisely. Your predecessors found out the hard way. It doesn't pay to lie to the American people. The news media would smell a cover-up and chew you to bits. I'll side with Julius, said Sandecker. Close off the area, but go through with the excavation, hiding nothing and keeping the public informed. Believe me, Mr. President, your administration will be far better off putting the library artifacts out in the open as they're recovered. The president turned and looked at Wismer. Sorry, Harold. Perhaps it's all for the best. Let us hope so, said Wismer, solemnly staring at the newspaper story. I don't want to think about what might happen if that lunatic Topiltzen decides to make an issue of it.